Thank you, Ed. For those of you that were here last week, you know that we looked at Home Improvement 101. It was about husbands and wives. And boy, there are some of you wives I wish that were here. No. Just forget that. Today we're looking at Home Improvement 102 about parents and children. You've heard me over the years talk about my family a little bit. My mother, a godly woman, probably one of the reasons I'm here today. Her prayers and following Jesus Christ regardless of what was going on. My father, an alcoholic gambler until I was 15. And most of the time when I mention my father, I know it comes out kind of negative. But I want to tell you one thing. Even though it was my mother that really introduced me and my brothers to Jesus, it was my father that I had great respect for. He was a man. He was a man. Truck driver, coal miner, truck driver, construction worker. Never missed a day's work, even when he was a drunk, as an alcoholic, a weekend alcoholic primarily. But he was a man. And he taught me to never fear anybody. He said, I don't care how big they are. Get an equalizer. Get a brick, get a gun, get a club, get a bat, get anything. Don't fear anybody. He carried a pistol. He was about 5'8", strong as an ox. One leg that he lost his left leg below the knee in a motorcycle accident when he was 18. So you wonder why I still like motorcycles. Well, it's in my blood, I guess. So when I speak of my dad and I talk about he's an alcoholic gambler, I want you to know there was another side of him. He would let no one hurt his boys, had two younger brothers. Hard worker, great respect, taught me what about life, cars, racing, stock cars, mechanics. He instilled all of that in me. I want to ask a question today as we get into this subject of Colossians. The question is going to be kind of like a riddle. And here it is. What is the safest and yet most dangerous place for your children and grandchildren? What is the safest but yet most dangerous? Maybe the most dangerous place for your children or your grandchildren? The answer to that is the center of God's will. The center of God's will. Now, I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania in the foothills of the Alleghenies, not real mountains, but very high hills and steep hills and all of that, and guardrails or part of the highway system, you know, the roads. And it was back then when I was young and got my driver's license, they didn't have these nice metal guardrails that we have today. Some of you will remember those metal twisted rope wire guardrails, about 3 or 4 strands. But you need them to kind of stay on the road. And if you got a little too fast or a little too buzzed, guardrails probably saved a lot of people's lives. And guardrails were a means of security to keep you in the center of the road. I want to address this morning the very, very important subject of parents and children and the necessity of guardrails or the parental responsibility for helping our children stay in the center of God's will. To help them stay in the center of God's will. Our responsibility as parents. It's a very vital subject. Parents and children, assisting them, our children, our grandchildren, to live in God's will. That becomes a top priority for parents. I'm speaking primarily to those children and those grandchildren that may live under your authority, under your roof. Certainly, our children get older, they move out on their own, they get married, they have their own families. That's their responsibility. So their physical health, their social development, and their education. They're all important needs for our kids, but not as important as living in God's will. I can't stress that strong enough. Not as important as living in the center of God's will. It's quite easy to work, to be very active and very intentional in seeing our kids become successful with earthly, temporal things, but miss the heavenly, eternal things which are of great worth to God and very vital for them. And so I could subtitle this sermon this morning, How Not to Lose Your Children. How not to lose your children. And I'm not talking about losing them to drugs or some gang or some other social disorder. See, you can have children and grandchildren grow up to be very successful in business, become very successful business people. They can have a good career. They can have a nice home in the suburbs, of course. And they can have that inevitable 2.5 children, and still we may have lost them to the values of this world and lost them to missing living in the center of God's will. So how do we help them and encourage them to stay in God's will and not lose them? Guardrails are our parental God-given responsibilities. Now, as I said last week, and I only say this to kind of put a little bit more authority behind what I say, I think I have some authority to speak on this subject. I am blessed. I'll be married 52 years in September. Man, not me, right? Yes, I am that old. I have 4 married children, 11 grandchildren, and 4 of them are married. I mean, that is mind-boggling that my two older children are grandparents. My oldest son has 5. My oldest daughter has 4 grandchildren. So, and then we have 9 great-grandchildren. So, that's this lapel mic. Bear with it. I have a little bit of authority, a little bit of experience. So what I want to do this morning is look at Colossians 3 and share what I call 7 perfect guardrails for assisting our children to live in the center of God's will, which is the safest and but yet may be the most dangerous place for them to be. 7 perfect guardrails. Make 7 wonderful chapters in a book. Maybe someday I'll write. Each one is a sermon. But we got to see them all together this morning as the guardrails for their lives. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says here in Colossians. The first guardrail to assist our children to live in the center of God's will is authenticity. Authenticity, yes, means being genuine as parents or grandparents in our life relationships. I'm not talking about our kids being authentic. I'm talking about us as parents and grandparents being authentic. Colossians 3, this whole passage, the context, is about living genuine, authentic Christian lives in all of our relationships. This passage is about us living genuine, authentic Christian lives in all of our relationships. This is the opposite of being a fake or being a phony or being a hypocrite. See, next to our spouse, our children know us better than most people. They see how we live. Who are your kids' heroes? Who are your kids' heroes? Do they respect you and want to be like you? Are we modeling a genuine Christian life in all of our relationships to them? That involves our one-on-one with our kids. That involves what they see in terms of our marriage, their parents. That involves our relationships with others, and on it goes. See, our children, and of course I add to that grandchildren, our children need us to be model men. Model women, model husbands, model neighbors, model civic people, and certainly model Christians. Here's an amazing thing. Your kids, as soon as they are old enough, they will smell phoniness and non-authenticity in your life. They will smell that. They will go, that's my dad, that's my mother, that's my parents, that's my pop-pop, my mom. Whoa, that stinks. And hypocrisy stinks. See, your kids are watching everything about your life. Don't believe me? Ask them. They're watching your life. They're watching everything about it. They're watching your marriage. They're watching your job. They're watching your church life, your prayer life. They're watching your language. They're watching your habits. So as a guardrail of authenticity, it is the bottom guardrail line. It's a foundational rail that keeps them from slipping under the will of God. So everything about us is screaming to our kids, it's okay to live like me. And you cannot go to them and say, well, don't do as I do as I say. Because that doesn't fly. A second guardrail is obedience. Or we could put obedience / discipline. Verse 20, children, obey your parents. Well, that's nice, huh? But you know, the responsibility is not primarily on the kids. Yeah, they're to obey. But the prime responsibility on us is parents. See, it's very clear that children are to obey their parents. But parents are responsible to teach obedience, and that's where discipline enters the relationship. My purpose this morning is not to strictly talk about discipline and not to slip into talking about spanking or not spanking. That's something the Lord has to teach you. Connie and I, my wife, we made a decision that we would spank our kids. Is that okay with you? Too bad if it's not. We did. Until they were about 12. I think 12 was right, Tim? There's a few exceptions. Tim's my youngest son sitting up here. But it was about 12. That was the cutoff point. After that, you know, spanking just doesn't really work. And physical doesn't work, so don't even go there. So I'm not talking this morning primarily about the form of discipline. That's innate in this whole concept of obedience. We must teach obedience, period. Period. See, the foundational problem, though, is this. And we're talking about keeping and helping keep our children in the center of God's will. The foundational problem is all about authority. It's all about authority. Have you, as a parent, or maybe grandparent, if you're raising grandkids, have you established and are you maintaining authority in your home? And it begins with mom and dads living under the authority of God. That includes husbands living as the head of the home there under the authority of Jesus. See, this ties in with authority in the home and what our kids are watching. And so we want our kids to obey. We want you to obey. Johnny, Mary, you're to obey. Nice. I want you to obey me. And all the while we're out here going, I'll do whatever I want, Jesus. Oh, God, I need you, God, when I get sick. But I'll live the way I want. And I want you to obey me, kids. You know what you're telling your kids? Forget authority. Forget authority. Now, don't get me wrong. Somebody's going to say, but I want to teach my kids to obey anyway. Yeah, go ahead, try. But you're going to have problems. It's all about authority in your home. Obedience becomes a very serious guardrail that sets the boundaries for our kids' well-being. See, if we love our kids, we will teach obedience through discipline. God disciplines us because He loves us. Again, this is not a sermon on discipline. You ask the Lord and you seek Jesus. You ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and teach you in this matter, and He will. But the bottom line, it will come down to authority. Are you, as a parent, and as parents, maintaining God-centered, Christ-centered authority within your home. Third guardrail, verse 21, it's all about motivation. Motivation. Verse 21 is very pointed. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. The opposite of encouragement and motivation. Now, I know that there is such an animal as laziness. I understand that. And kids have a tendency to be lazy. But you know, the real problem is not laziness. The real problem is motivation. That's the real issue. Somebody's lazy, they're not motivated, you know. So here we are as parents looking at a guardrail to keep our kids in the center of God's will. Motivation is very, very important. And this verse, the Apostle Paul is writing and he says, it focuses on the leadership of fathers. Now, I believe it's both the dad and mom's responsibility for motivation. But Paul's really narrowing it down. And he's saying, dads, don't embitter your kids. They're going to get discouraged. You need the opposite. You need to encourage them. It's quite clear that we can discourage and embitter our children if we do not motivate them properly. If we do not motivate them properly. See, a huge problem in our society, in our culture, is that we have a generation and an upcoming generation and maybe a little bit older generation that they're not motivated. They're not motivated by what they see in the home. They're not motivated by their dads. They're not motivated by their parents. And so they are motivated to be part of a gang, to be part of some social, what we might say, this kind of dysfunctional environment, because oftentimes there's no dad on the picture. Motivation means that we are directing and inspiring our kids to live for the Lord, to become the kind of person that He wants them to become. And that sentence right there is going to be easily missed. Motivation means that we are directing and inspiring our kids to live for the Lord and to become the kind of person that He wants them to be. That includes their purpose for living and their goals in life. Heavy thought. That also includes the praise or the blessing that we give to them, even if it's a C and not an A. Even if it's a C and not an A. We desperately need to bless our kids and inspire them for who they are. They need our approval for who they are as kids and our praise. But in this whole area of motivation, as the opposite of embittering, the opposite of discouraging, parents are responsible to introduce their kids to the Lord's purpose for their life. I don't know how many of you have really thought through that. That we are to motivate our children to live in the center of God's will and the Lord Jesus' purpose for their life. That's a very important guardrail. That motivation deals with their purpose in life, why they're born, why they're alive, their own self-esteem, and what life is all about. That we are to motivate them and inspire them to live for the Lord's purpose for their life. How can I state that more emphatically than that? Let's approach it this way. What are you introducing your kids to in life? See, if you let them sit in their rooms and play video games all day, they will have a very small world. And you have introduced them to laziness and self-centered entertainment alone. If their life is wrapped up simply in sports or getting straight A's or some hobby or maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a job to make money, and that's their whole purpose in life is to get a job and make money, then you have inspired them to temporal things. temporal things as their priority in life. And there's nothing wrong with getting a job and making money, but if that's their purpose, there's nothing wrong with sports, but if that's their whole purpose in life, they may be missing God's purpose for them. And a guardrail of motivation is to introduce them to things that keep them in the center of God's will and God's purpose for their lives. So we need to introduce our kids to everything and anything that will be used to help them to live in a God-centered, Christ-centered way of life. That may involve music. But not that music becomes the whole end, but that music is used for God's glory. We may introduce them to sports, but not just for sports. But how can sports be used for God's glory? It may be art. It may be some other talent or some ability that God has given them, but not just for them, not just to make a lot of money, but how can it be used for God's glory and to live in the center of God's will? And certainly we want to motivate them in the things that have eternal value. Things that have eternal value. Their relationships with people, who they date. Is that person that they're going to date someone that's going to lead them away from the center of God's will? The person that they may marry? The person that they're involved with? Is it going to lead them out of that center of God's will for their life? Then we as parents, we have a very important responsibility to maintaining that that guardrail is going to be there. We want to introduce them to other Christians. We need to introduce them to church. We need to introduce them to the youth group and Sunday school and discipleship groups and ministries. We need to introduce them to missions and short-term missions, that life is more than just their own little world. We want them in the center of God's will. But keep in mind that the center of God's will is the absolute safest place for them to be, but maybe the most dangerous place. Another guardrail that we need to address here is nurture. And we won't spend a lot of time on this one, but Colossians 3, it's all about parents caring for their children. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians about this. He says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Caring for our children means that we will nurture them with instruction and training. This is all about feeding our kids. Feeding our kids. Now you say, boy, you don't know what it takes to feed a kid today. Well, a little bit. But what are you feeding your kids? What is in their diet? I can hear it now. Somebody's going, he's going to talk about not too much sugar and not too much chocolate. No, I'm not. I'm not going there. Seriously, their diet for their mind and soul and spirit. What are you feeding them? It's amazing to me. And it's probably because I'm at the age of where I am, and I can sit back and I look at my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and see people in the church and in society. It's amazing how many parents are very concerned about their kids not eating too much sugar or never slipping into drugs and alcohol, but they forget about the mind and the spirit and the soul. What are your kids watching and listening to on TV or on a computer or on the internet and Facebook and all those kinds of social media? What are your kids feeding on? Are you allowing them to feed on junk? Junk food for their souls and their minds and their spirit. See, it's our responsibility as parents to nurture them. This is to be proactive, that we are to introduce and to nurture them and to train them in the instruction of God's word. The next question is not meant to make you feel guilty, and I know it may, and in one sense I apologize for it, but that is not my motive. And that is, how much time do your kids spend learning about the things of God, the things of the Bible, and the things about Jesus? How much time, literally, do they spend there? See, 1 hour on Sunday morning, and actually sermons are usually 25 or 30 minutes. That's not enough. It's not enough. Our kids need Sunday worship, yes. They need the community life of the body of Christ. They need discipleship. They need Sunday school. They need youth group. They need those kinds of things that will help supplement what we as parents are doing. And the vital, it's a vital responsibility for parents of how we're nurturing our kids. What are your kids reading? I would encourage you to read to your kids. You know, one of the best books I ever read, and if any of you guys make fun of me, we're going to do fisticuffs later, okay? I still got it. Was Heidi. How many of you read Heidi? One man. Oh, Tim, okay. And Christian. Yeah, thank you. I read it to my youngest daughter, Suzanne, when she's little, and now she's a mother of three. Not only the experience of reading it to Suzanne, but it's a great story. I highly recommend you guys read it. It's not just for kids, right, Christian? It's just a great story. And I just picked that out. And if you are really, really looking for something for your kids to read, especially the ages of like 9 through 12, man, I was turned on to this as a kid, and I wish I could get all my grandkids and great-grandkids to do it. And that's the Sugar Creek Gang series by Paul Hutchinson. Any of you have heard of that? I know my kids have, and some of you have. Great series. You could go on Christian Book Distributors, and I think there's 36 in the series. I didn't read all of those. Some of those came out after I grew up and was gone as a kid for like $100. Great story of these kids as a gang called the Sugar Creek Gang. It's all Christ-centered and Bible-based, good stuff, and all the problems and jams and shenanigans that kids get into. Great stuff for your kids. Another guardrail. Fatherly leadership. Fatherly leadership. Yes, it involves parental leadership, but the key is on the shoulders of dads. Colossians 3 emphasizes fathers, as does all Scripture, emphasizes fathers. Now again, I'm not negating or putting down the responsibility of moms, but dads, we are ultimately responsible to do everything we can, especially in those growing up years, and they are under our roots and under our authority, to keep them in the center of God's will. I believe this is a very important guardrail, one that is missing so much in our society today. And that comes be ways of absentee dads. They're just not there. They maybe are dead. Maybe they're part of a gang. Maybe they're addicted to something. They're substance abusers. Or they just don't want to be around. Connie had a patient several years ago at St. Lawrence Rehab, and it was a man that was bragging about he had 22 kids to 11 different women. Now you go, whoa, that's terrible, of course, but how can you be a dad? He's not there. He has nothing to do with the kids. See, we have too many missing from action dads. There are dads who have no time or very little time for their children and their families. There are dads that have left their families. Dads that have put hobbies and other things, yes, even substance abuse and other women ahead of their families and ahead of their children. Oh, I'll say something else risky this morning. I don't like Bruce Springsteen. Okay, he's from New Jersey, I get it. But I never liked Bruce Springsteen. But there is one song of Bruce Springsteen that if it comes on the radio, I'll listen to it. It's one of his first songs called Hungry Heart. I left my wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack, and decided I'm never going back. That's some of the words. I paraphrase them briefly. You get a chance, you hear Bruce's song about hungry hearts. Everybody has a hungry heart. I left my wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack, and turned and never went back. Show me a dysfunctional family, and I'll show you a dysfunctional dad or a missing from action dad. See, both boys and girls need fatherly leadership in the home. There are too many promiscuous girls that never had the leadership of a loving father. There are too many rebellious boys that never had the leadership of a fatherly father. Fatherly leadership is a God-given responsibility. And you say, but I don't know how. I just don't know how. I don't know what to do. I didn't have a father that was that way for me. Learn. Learn how to do it. Cry out to God. God, I'm a father, and I didn't have a role model, and I want to be that fatherly leadership that so desperately is needed in my family. He will teach you. Or find someone to mentor you. They will do that. Quickly, another guardrail, and it's church. I mentioned it a few moments ago. Colossians 3:15, the whole context is about being part of the body of Christ. The context of this is the church, other Christians. God never, ever, ever, ever intended family life to be separated from church life. Don't believe that lie from Satan that it can be. They absolutely must complement each other. Actually, in heaven, there are no families, right? There's the body of Christ. Church is the body of Christ, and it's there. God has designed it to serve as a guardrail. God has designed it as a guardrail to help keep our kids in the center of God's will. Maybe you've never seen church as that important for your children, but it is especially for living in God's will. Church is not a place for your kids to be entertained. If that rubs you the wrong way, take me out to lunch. We'll have a great time chatting about that one. See, the church is a place for edification and evangelism and equipping and exaltation and worship, etc. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for entertainment, and kids need a little bit of entertainment. I understand that. As adults, we need it too. But that's not the primary goal of church. If your child is bored with Sunday school or Good News Club or the youth group or whatever, if they're bored, your kids have a spiritual problem. Now hear me carefully. Yes, once in a while there's an exception. I know that. So barring that, but the percentage is very low. The problem is usually with the child. They want to be entertained, and woe to the parents that cater to that child, because you will be catering to them the rest of your life as they are growing up. I need to be entertained. I need to be entertained. I want to feel good. Make me happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. And you'll cater to that. Church is not just about entertainment. Church is a place where there's a community of believers to help keep our kids in the center of God's will and to see what God's doing. One more guardrail, and this may be the most important one. You can debate that. Colossians 3:24. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. And the guardrail here is Jesus. Verse 17 adds, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it is all about Jesus. As parents in relationship to children. Jesus Christ is the top guardrail to keep our kids in the center of God's will. It's Jesus. You leave Jesus out of that and you're going to have problems. Yes. Our ultimate goal is to introduce our children to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to repent of their sin and do a 180 degree and saying, I want to live for Jesus, whether it's 5 years of age or 10 or 15 years of age. We want our kids to come to know Jesus Christ. Do your children know Jesus? We want them to come to that place where they make that choice for Jesus. And we as parents, and yes, sometimes as grandparents, are responsible to introduce them to Him. That He is to be the center of their lives. He is to be the center of their priorities. He is to be the center of their purpose for living. The real Jesus. And so I challenge us Let's introduce our kids to the real Jesus of the Bible, the real Jesus of the church. 7 perfect guardrails. Let me just hit the key words on each one if you happen to be taking notes. Tonight I'll tell you that in our small group, the one that I'm part of, we'll be talking about the 7 guardrails. I hope somebody like Jeannie took notes, and because I'll forget them between now and tonight. But Jeannie, I go to Jeannie's house, and she'll remind me to make sure that they're there. Authenticity, oh, how our kids desperately need that. They'll smell phoniness and hypocrisy a mile away. Obedience, motivation, nurture, fatherly leadership, church, and Jesus. How are you doing with your children and these guardrails? Authenticity to Jesus. Make it your priority as a parent or as a grandparent, if you're able to share these things with your children, build them into their lives. It's exciting to be a parent. It's exciting. And it's very exciting to be a grandparent. And very, very exciting to be a great-grandparent, even though I don't get to see them very much. But what this awesome responsibility that God has given us as men, women, as husbands, wives, as dads and moms, that God gives us children to nurture them to come to know Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, you are our Father. And Jesus, you are Lord and King. We praise your name. Lord, we want to be the kind of parents that we need to be. The grandparents, the great-grandparents. We seek your wisdom and your counsel. Direct us, teach us, speak to us. Now, Father, as we leave this room, this building, let us breathe in your presence, your Shekinah glory. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.